Savior is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God. Been teaching on the subject, how serious do we take the message of salvation? How serious is that gospel message that God has given his children to take into all the world? When we study the Old Testament, we can clearly see that if somebody even suggests to worship another god, that person had to be put to death. I remember growing up in a religious system, and I heard people talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I even listened to sermons about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, and I remember vaguely people talking about having Jesus as their Savior. But somehow that message of salvation was always buried in the debris of the religious system that I was in. So how serious do we take the message of salvation? One thing I know for sure, if you're going to bury the message of salvation in the debris of some religious system, the children of parents who put more emphasis on their religious activity or their religious ideology will turn away not only from the religious system, but they will also turn away from the Lord God that their parents worship. So we need to make sure that our children know that it is important to have Jesus as their Savior. Yes, far more important than the religious decrees that they are being taught. Yes, it is very easy for people to forget the God that bought them once you get caught up in a religious ideology. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, the Lord Jesus gave his disciples a decree. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But what did the disciples do? They gathered together in Jerusalem. They formed a holy huddle. They had everything in common. They were serving one another until the Lord God sent the Apostle Paul, then named Saul, to take care of the situation and scattered them throughout the world. Yes, the Lord God has called us to preach the gospel, not to form some religion. But the question will be asked, what will happen to a person who is born into a situation where the Lord Jesus Christ is not revered, where the gospel is not being preached, regardless what religious system you're in? What will happen to that person, and what should that person do about the things that happened to him? Today I will preach on this subject, but before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open the hearts of them that are listening. Lord Jesus, we are fast running out of time, and we need to preach this gospel to the ends of the world. I thank you, O God, for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak to those Christians today who have become discouraged because their loved ones have rejected them because of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are children who are being rejected by their parents, and there are parents who are being rejected by their children. There's also spouses that are being rejected because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ warned us about that situation. In Matthew chapter 10, in verse 34, it tells us, think not that I have come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And the man's foes shall be they of his own household. This is what happens when a person becomes a born-again Christian amongst those who are non-believers. Yes, even though they proclaim that they know God, they will go to church, they will do all the religious activities. But once somebody amongst them starts to emphasize that Jesus is the only way into heaven, that it's through the blood of Jesus that you are being saved, then a war starts. And regardless how you try to explain yourself, they will not listen to you. You have become something peculiar. Why? It is because their eyes are blinded. They do not see what you see. Even though some may even speak the same language, but they will look at you in a very strange way, because for some reason, many will think that you have somehow gone overboard. I have heard that a lot before I became a Christian, whenever somebody would talk about the Lord God too much, they would say, he's gone overboard. Even though I could not understand, even though I could not figure out what had happened to that person, but I do remember people talking about people like this. This person has gone into the Bible too much, and he has gone overboard. It has affected his mind. I'm sure there are people listening to me who have heard these excuses of people who don't want to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I want to explain here today. Once I became a Christian, once I found the way of salvation, then those accusations were turned against me. And then I understood what people meant by somebody going overboard. Yes, I went overboard. I jumped out of the sinking ship and into the ship of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is sailing merrily on to the promised land. This is what the Word of God teaches. Once we become born again, we are on our way to our inheritance. But the question will be asked, what should a person do once he finds himself in that situation and he cares about his loved ones? He doesn't want to leave them. He wants to somehow get them to know about the God that saved them. This was my biggest concern when I became a born-again Christian. I did not really worry about the accusation and the stories that were told about me. What I was seeking was, how could I explain the way of salvation to them so that they could also inherit the eternal life that I found, that I had? And the Lord God, through my years of preaching the Word of God, has taught me a few things on how to approach people. Yes, they have to understand, first of all, that the only way into heaven is through the precious blood of Jesus. A person has to become born again. If they never hear of that, then they don't know how to become born again. You have to explain your experience to them. And then you have to show them in Scripture. And I know for a fact that many will not listen to you. I know for a fact that it's going to be hard going because the battle has begun. And you need to seek the Lord on how to reach your loved ones for the kingdom of God. But I want to say this to you. Be of good cheer. The minute you start to talk to them about Jesus, that's the minute the Lord begins a good work in them. And one day he will perform that good work and bring it to perfection. In Psalm chapter 33, in verse 13, it tells us, "The Lord looks from heaven, and he beholds all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looks upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioned their hearts alike." Here is what the Word of God teaches. Every person on this planet is the same. Whether you're Muslim, whether you're Catholic, whether you're Hindu, whether you're Mennonite, Hutterite, Episcopalian, whatever religion, or even somebody who lives for the devil, who is into Satan worship, every person's heart is the same. God has fashioned them alike, and they are seeking something to fill that void that is in them. And this is why they form all those religions. So regardless where you are listening to this message, know for a fact that a person that you're talking to is just like you were. All there needs to be is God to open their eyes to the truth. And once their eyes are open to the truth, then the decision is theirs. And the question will be asked, do we have an input into their decision? According to Scripture, yes, we have. It tells us in Proverbs chapter 8 in verse 14, counsel is mind and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. In other words, it is by God that understanding comes. It is by God that strength comes. And it is through God that kings reign. And it's through God that princes make decrees. The decisions of people, of kings, and of princes are determined by God. But the question is, how do we get God to get them to make those decisions? This is where we have been called to prayer. This is where we pray for people so that God will pay them a visit and sway them in their decision making. King David the psalmist understood that. In Psalm chapter 35, verse 23, he tells us, stir up thyself and awake to my judgment, even unto my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Lord, my God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, ah, so we would have it. Let them not say, we have swallowed him up. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. So the King David understood that he can sway God to change people's hearts so that they will rejoice with him in the righteous cause that he was walking in. This is what the Word of God is trying to teach those who love the Lord. When we speak to our loved ones about the Lord Jesus Christ, they may reject us. But when we speak to the Lord Jesus Christ about our loved ones, then the tables are turned. Then they will accept us. We will find favor in their eyes, and they will turn to the God that we serve. So we need to give our lives and our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk in holiness. Learn to hear his voice. When we study the Old Testament, we can read of different places where people's hearts were changed because somebody was interceding for them. And I am sure there are many listening to me right now who have had the same experience. When we ask the Lord to intervene and sway people's choices, people do make the right decisions because the Lord is not willing that any should perish. So do not give God any rest. Seek him on your loved ones. Ask him, and he will surely answer you. Yes, the Lord says, we will reap if we faint not. Yes, the Lord will open your heart to these incredible truths and make you a blessing. Amen.
Not deny like a great angelic choir sings.
When one studies scriptures, we can clearly see that the Bible warns over and over again not to allow the word of God to depart from our hearts. We should teach our children the word of God. We should never let them forget who the Lord God is. And the Bible has a promise for those who truly in their hearts seek the face of God for their loved ones and for their children. It tells us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, "Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there if you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent?" So he is giving us an example. Who would give his own son a stone if he asked for bread? Or who will give him a snake or a serpent if he asks for a fish? So he is telling us to ask, to receive, to seek, and God will answer us. Especially when it comes to our loved ones, God has given us the authority over them. If we walk in a holy relationship with him. In Proverbs 21, in verse 2, it tells us, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart." Here is the problem with many. And I have seen disastrous situations. People are wondering why their loved ones are going astray, especially their children. Oh yes, they have taught them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, they have taught them the precepts of God. But something has gone wrong. They have turned away from the God of the parents. They are seeking after the things of the world. There is a warning. We may think that we're doing right. We may think that we're doing everything according to what God told us to do. But the warning is this: God ponders our hearts. In other words, he knows the deep intentions of our hearts. And if our hearts are pure with God, I want to share this with you. Regardless how far away your son or daughter has gone away from the God that you serve, they will come back to him. But if you're going to be a double agent, if you're going to be nonchalant about the God that you serve, if God sees that your heart is not right with him, then you will not sway him in your children's decision making. It tells us in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also will reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." That is a grim warning to Christian parents who don't live for the Lord. The Lord God simply tells us here, because you have rejected knowledge, because you have rejected my precepts, then I will reject you as a priest. And if you cannot be a priest to God, how can you pray for your children? This is why it tells us, "Then I will forget your children." This is as clear as it can get. For those of you who are double agents, for those of you who don't want to live for the Lord, even though you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have to remember, for you to be an effective witness, you have to have a heart that is right with God. Because the Bible clearly teaches, even though we have all the right words, even though we have the right actions, the Lord still ponders our hearts. He knows exactly what we have in our hearts. So turn to the Lord today. Seek Him. Ask Him to reveal the secrets of your heart. The psalmist cried out to God, "Try my reins, O God." Why did he do that? So that he could straighten out the wrongs that he was into. If you will do that, then the Lord will be able to use you as a priest. So turn to the Lord today. Seek Him, because we are fast running out of time. The Lord will open your heart to these awesome truths and make you a blessing.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.
Peace.